You're listening to the Pool Proof Wisdom Podcast, where we bring our authentic selves, refuse to raise grown folks, and share wisdom you can use. With your host, Charles K. Poole.
And good day, good people. Listen, I know most of you are more recently used to seeing these as videos where I'm speaking with a guest, and that's okay. That's typically the way that I've been trying to go about doing this podcast these days. However, sometimes it's very important for me to just sit down, record my thoughts, share them with you, and hope, if we're all lucky, that you will get from these comments, these reflections, these ideas, as much as I have in the experience of them. Now, I am on the final day of my vacation, and an epic vacation it was. 6 glorious days of freedom from all of the things that we typically convince ourselves are absolutely essential for existence. Everybody seems to be so focused on talking about how hard they're grinding all the time. I'm on the grind. I've got to work the grind, the grind, the grind, the grind. Let me tell you something, good people. The grind is fine for a little while, but after a while, you get used to the fact that the grind is necessary only in a limited set of circumstances. If all you're doing is grinding your life, you're grounding it into powder, as far as I'm concerned. Grinding your life into powder with no significance, with no meaning to you, with nothing that's going to fuel you on the path forward that you are hopefully heading in. I've learned that in vacation terms, it's very important to take time away, to give yourself an opportunity to decompress, to let go of everything that seems to be the tried and true in terms of your overall daily existence, to stop convincing yourself that the only way to have a life that will make you happy is to not live the life that you have free of constant, chronic daily work. So yeah, I took a vacation. I'm a big proponent of taking vacation, and not just a vacation in the classic sense where you take time off and find something else to busy yourself with, but the type of vacation where you get to be free of all of the stuff that normally burdens you down every day. That's not just in terms of the actual functional element of it, but in terms of your brain, your spirit, how you're thinking and feeling about everything. So the vacation I took found me going back to my beloved Los Angeles, where I have spent so much time before, but every time I go, I find so many other things that enlighten me, that lift my spirits, that give me cause for pause to think about the life that I have and not just the life that I'm living, where it can take me, where I would still like to see it go. And that's very relevant, because I'm a guy of a certain age, right? I've reached a level in life, which means for a lot of people, you're supposed to be slowing down. You're supposed to be looking at your golden years. But me, I'm still fully and vibrantly alive. And every day I get up with a sense of purpose, with a sense of mission, with an understanding that I'm not done yet, and I'm far from being done. And in fact, my statement is simple. I'm going to live until I die. And that means for me, getting up every day with a sense of wonder, of hope, and faith that on that particular day, there will be things that will occur in my experience that will help me better understand what I'm here to do, why I'm here to do it, and then get about doing it. So that's what I did on my vacation. The apex of which, the top of which, was of course going to one of the concerts that Beyonce, during her Renaissance tour, held in LA. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit because I'm a person who is a fan of Beyonce. I probably wouldn't earn my ticket to the Beehive because, yeah, I'm not a rabid fan of anyone. I appreciate talent and the acumen that it takes for people of that particular ability level to do what they do, but I'm not the one who's a rabid fan for anybody. But I've got to tell you, after attending this concert, I might just have to join. I have lived long enough, fortunately, to see a lot of different things, to experience a lot of wonderful music, and to see performers for the ages. Very fortunate in that. And as much as I've seen, I can honestly say I've never, ever, ever, ever had an experience like the one I had at SoFi Stadium on September 1st when I was in the audience during the Renaissance Tour. Absolutely amazing. And not just because the music was delivered with such artistic value and the lyrics appeal to things that I think and feel, but because in the room there was an energy unlike anything reverberating throughout that huge stadium with thousands of people everywhere, so very thankful to be in that space, sharing that moment, doing exactly what they came there to do, and watching Beyoncé and her talented group of performers and backup dancers and the artists who came, who were the headliners, who were the preview artists before Beyoncé took the stage, do what they do. It was literally a love fest. I stood there in awe just looking around at people because everyone was enthralled. I keep using that word because that's the only appropriate word for it. Enthralled. And the energy that was there, the love you could feel in that place, the sense of freedom with people being completely aware of who they are and not being afraid to show it. People who came there who were celebrities, who in that almost sacred kind of space felt free to dance and sing and free themselves from the perspective that says, you're this, so you're supposed to be that. You couldn't live in the same space as, quote, regular people, but they did. And what a witnessed moment it was. I was just blown away. I just awestruck is the only way I can, you know, put it. And when you can do that for people, it doesn't have to be on that large of a scale, but when you can help people feel good about being who they are and collectively let everyone know that that's who you are, a person who brings people together, I don't know of anything more powerful on this earth. And that's what happened at the concert. Everyone, all kinds of walks of life, all kinds of persuasions, perspectives, ideologies, all in one place, all to see one person who brought them together in a powerful and loving way, and who, by the way, became so emotional herself when she was able to witness what was outside of the stage itself, these thousands of people cheering and joyful and hopeful and loving and happy and so many other adjectives I can think of. It touched her heart, and I get that. It touched mine too. I was really in the moment. And my favorite song, by the way, and there are so many in her catalog, but the one that appeals to me most has a personal story attached to it. My late sister Kim loved the song Love on Top. So when that song came on, literally, I'm standing with my sunglasses on because thank God I did, because it kind of welled up. The tears kind of came because I thought about what a blast Kim would have had if she had been able to attend that concert. I brought her with me instead in spirit. And that is one of those moments where I understood the power of what was going on around me. And there were thousands of people, of course, who were doing exactly the same thing. So hats off to Beyoncé, to the dancers, to the production team. By the way, I had a special package that I was able to win during a live auction in July at the Holly Rod event, which of course is headed by my most respected and lovely people that I know, Holly Robinson Pete and Rodney Pete, that does tremendous work to help people and families who are facing diagnoses of autism and Parkinson's disease. It's one of my beloved organizations that I support no matter what, because they are just good people doing great work. So I won this prize, which was to go to the concert and attend. And it was pretty heady because the package allowed me to be in the midst of all of those celebrities and whatnot that I mentioned earlier. And it was stellar. But more than anything else, it was the point of view. I got to be so close. I could see everything and I enjoyed it. And I want to thank Holly and Rodney and the Holly Rod Foundation for that opportunity. And again, I was thanking all of the people on the production team. And let's not forget Ms. Tina Knowles, who took the responsibility of being my tour guide prior to the concert, as well as Larry Bianchi and Bria Williams and a host of other people. They gave me an experience that I will remember for the rest of my life. And I'm tremendously thankful for that. And when you have that type of experience while you're on vacation, if you're not thinking about what you are dealing with and experiencing and feeling, you're wasting a moment. You're wasting a very important moment because, outside of that grind mentality that so many people have, I believe in basking in these moments where you know something bigger than yourself is happening right before your eyes and you get it and you want to share it. That's the reason I couldn't wait to haul ass back here and record this episode, because I wanted to tell you that it wasn't just about going to another concert. It wasn't just about being on vacation. It's about having a perspective that makes you think differently about your life overall, which both those experiences did. I believe that where so many people are focused on grinding and the work and, how much money you can get and all these other types of things, and come up with all of these bucket lists for what they intend to do when they achieve these things, I live in an opposite direction. I believe that it's important in these moments when we're becoming so very aware of how we're living and what we're doing and what the value of it is, that instead of worrying about the bucket list you're going to have when everything that you have imagined falls into place, I believe in having a reverse bucket list. That list means that you are looking at your life in full context and you are thinking about all the things you did that you didn't think you could or even would for that matter, and yet have accomplished them anyway. They may not be grand stories. They may not mean that you're a rich and terrifically financially successful person, but you know that in the context of your individual history and that of others who have been touched by what you've said or done, that you've done things that you never even imagined that you could. It's giving yourself grace and letting the bucket be filled with the appreciation you have for everything that you've done, despite the fact that circumstances that you may have been born into, people that you know, situations that you found yourself in that you didn't think you wouldn't, all of them, you have risen to the occasion, not because you thought that it was what you were going to do, but you found yourself in those places and you rose to the occasion by being better than you thought you had to be, by doing more than you thought you could, by living in the present, not worried about what happened in your past, not so projected onto the idea of what the future is going to hold. But in that moment, you did the very best you could, and it either helped you or helped lots of people, maybe sometimes only one person. But for the rest of their lives, that person will be changed because you lived. Because in that moment, you were the person who did whatever you did or said whatever you said. And that bucket list becomes very important because you don't have any control necessarily over what the future is going to hold for you. You do have an ability to dictate how you're going to deal with it. But what the reverse bucket list shows you is that that very thing, how you respond in the moment, is the most important thing you can keep in mind when it comes to valuing your own sense of self, your own self-worth while you're here. So I want to encourage you to start thinking about that, that reverse bucket list, because if you can do it, it will give you a perspective on who you are today, who you've been, and who you can yet be. And isn't that the whole reason, good people? It's to figure out why we're here, what we've learned, and how we're going to apply it, and therefore how we're going to shape our lives for whatever period of time it is that we get to go forward. That's my reverse bucket list theory anyway, and I think it's valuable to think of it that way. What is it that you did or have done that has made you who you are today and prepared you for who you will yet be? Something to consider. The other thing I think is important is to look at your life in the context of how you can get your life right, right? And that means that there are ways that you can look at your circumstances and overcome everything that makes your life valuable. And I think that one of those things is to always spend time looking at your life in macro and not just micro. Micro has its place in your life. That moment you think, oh man, I wish I'd said this. That happens. It happens to all of us. I lead an overly communicative life and it happens to me. There are times when I wish I'd said it differently or I'd done it differently, and that just happens. I've accepted that, and so should you. But if you're looking at your life in that macro way, what you want to do, I think, at least it's how I'm approaching it, is you want to get to the point where you have a life that, as you look at it in that macro point of view, it's regret-free. Yeah, that's what I said, regret-free. I think most people think they're supposed to have regrets. I don't necessarily believe in that. I believe that our purpose as we grow, as we become, is to make sure that we look at our life for what it is and therefore don't look at opportunities where we regret what we did or didn't do, because it's all purposeful. Everything that happens to us happens for a good reason. We may not always understand what that reason is in that very moment, but given time, it will become very clear. So there are a few lessons I wanted to share with you about how you can go about making sure that you are in a position where when you're doing that macro living, you are not living in a state of regret. So there are a few here. I think that in sharing them with you, I want you to be clear on how important it is that you do this on a regular basis. Assess your life and think of it in these four ways. And I think you'll change how you live and how you live with others because you're giving more than you're taking, not only from them, not only from the universe, but from yourself. So here we go. The first one is embrace the idea that we are not always who we think we are. You may have lived in a certain way and held a certain perspective for a good portion of your life. You may have had experiences that made you believe one thing or another, but if you're fortunate and you are insightful, what you will find is that over time, you become someone else entirely different. Excuse me, let me say that again. Over time, you become someone else entirely different from who you thought you were or who you were supposed to be. And that's the beauty of this life, is that you may be born into certain places where there were expectations of you, expectations you created for yourself in many instances. And yet you are in struggle sometimes because the life that you're living and the one you thought you're supposed to have, the person that you thought that you're supposed to be, it's not reconciling. What you learn is that over time, you become someone else. Circumstances, events, people, experiences, all work together to work on you, to shape you into who you're going to be. That's the reason when people are in a state of trauma. The question is not what's wrong with them, but what happened to them. Because when you know what happened to people, you can very much get a great idea of why they are the way that they are, why they respond to certain stimuli or people or circumstances in a certain way. So it's important to know that. Therefore, it makes sense from an individual point of view that when you know what happened to you, what experiences you've had, how they've impacted you, that you have an understanding of yourself. And when you open up to the experiences you're going to have, the people that you're going to get to know, everything that you're going to live with and live through, the joys, the pains, all of it all, you're going to change because what happens to you shapes who you become and therefore who you are. That's an important lesson that I want you to remember about going forward if you're fortunate enough to live a life of any length of years, to always be looking at who you're becoming and not just who you've been, not even who you are at this very moment, because that's going to change. You know, you hear people who are married and they'll say, you're just not the person I thought you were after whatever number of years. Well, they're right. The person shouldn't be the same person. But on the other hand, they shouldn't be the same person either. To be successful as married people, you've got to be willing to allow each other to grow into the space they're supposed to be in, and then find the commonalities in those purposes and in those people. Sometimes that means that's not going to happen. Sometimes you're going to grow apart, but often you will grow together. But you've got to be willing to give yourself the chance to do that, whether it's as a couple or as an individual. The next thing I want to tell you is most of the time I find when I'm out on social media or even in a conversation with people, people are in a chronic state of complaint, complaining about what isn't, what should be, what hasn't been. It's difficult for me to have those conversations with people because I tend to extricate myself from any situation where there's negativity. It just doesn't serve my purpose here on earth. And while I, of course, have appreciation for the fact that not everything is easy, and there's a distinct difference between people who are just complaining and people who are suffering. So let me be clear there. But if people are just complaining, I kind of remove myself. Because from my point of view, and I can say this as someone who's been through it, I've been through a lot, and I don't say that because I want anyone to be sad for me, it's just a fact. But even with everything I've experienced, and as I said, there's been a lot, I think if you're not thankful for your life, if you're not grateful for your experiences, you're missing the point. No one spoke to us when we came into this world and told us that life was going to be fair. No one told us that life was going to go just like we expected it, but it's still life. And to be able to live it every day is a glorious opportunity. And a lot of it has to do with what we make of it, how we perceive it. And I am every day in awe of what I get to experience, what I get to see, how I get to learn so much more about the world, the people in it, my ability to overcome challenge, my ability to experience joy, my experience to love. All of these things leave me in awe. I can find beauty in so many small things. It's not the large, grandiose things that always are the ones that offer the most opportunity for wonder in life. But small things and the signs that are all around that the good Lord leaves to remind us that we are not here alone, that we are witness to something that is much more interesting and worthy than perhaps we give it credit for because we pass it by every day. I find great joy and laughter in commonality. I find myself getting emotional when I see people win. That's a big thing in movies because I sometimes have got to sit in my movie and watch with my sunglasses on again because, I'll tell you, I'll sit in a movie theater, good people, and I will have tears coming behind those sunglasses because something about the way the movie tells a story really touches me emotionally. And I find that that can happen in real time as well. As I get older, I find I'm more sensitive to seeing the beauty in all things. And it's awesome. So I want us to spend less time complaining about what isn't and to be appreciative of what is and to be thankful for it, to be grateful for the fact that we're here and get an opportunity to experience it, to see it, to understand it from a new point of view based upon who we're becoming. So gratitude and thanks is very important to living a regret-free life. The next thing is everybody wants to believe that they're in control. I spent a lot of my life describing myself as a control freak. I tried to control every factor I could to proceed with doing in my life what I was convinced I was supposed to do for the reasons why I was convinced I was supposed to do it. I failed miserably. Time and again, I failed. The more control I tried to exercise, the less enjoyment I had of my life. So, what I realized after many, 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 many years of that is that trying to control anything only makes you sad, only makes you miserable, in fact, because I wasn't a happy guy by any stretch of the imagination. I was often in a state of struggle trying to figure out why all of my grand plans did not come to fruition. And the more I tried to figure it out, the less happy I became, the more frustrated and stressed out I became, the more miserable I became, until the point where it became so abundantly clear that I was going about everything wrong, that it changed me forever. I am a man who has abundant faith. It is the foundation on which I have built my life. And when I let that faith direct me toward what I should have been doing instead of what I'd convinced myself I was supposed to do, I freed myself from all of that. And the simple act that I engaged in was to surrender and let my faith guide me, and to trust that I would be taken care of, that everything was going to be all right, no matter what I did or didn't do, because I was being looked out for. When I say I have faith, I believe in God. You may call the source of all something different, and I'm not going to debate that with you, but for me, I call it God. And I believe that God has my back. There have been so many instances where I know it was nothing but that grace, that power, that ability to be in relationship with God that saved me, that to question it would have been so foolish, such a rejection of the obvious that it simply made no sense to do it. So I stopped. There's a song called I Surrender All, and I do. I surrender it every day. When I get ratcheted up and concerned about things, I surrender it. I say, Lord, whatever your plan for me will be, I accept it. Please direct me to it. And I let myself let go. That old saying, let go and let God, that ain't just something that people are saying, good people. It's real. And so, trying to control those outcomes outside of that ability that you do have to surrender is a foolish enterprise. So remember that. And finally, what I want you to understand is that to find purpose, find your passion, whatever it may be. And when you find it, you will know that you are on purpose for a purpose, and that that is plenty enough for anyone. So, good people, those are my four ideas. That's the story of my vacation and my concert experience. Use these lessons today to make some difference in your life and go forward and be happy. I look forward to talking with you again here soon, next time with a guest. And until then, blessed be and have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Pool Proof Wisdom Podcast. We always enjoy the company. Be sure to listen, like, subscribe, and share using Google and Apple Podcasts, Audible, Spotify, Anchor, Overcast, YouTube, or via RSS, so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this episode, we'd appreciate it very much if you simply tell a friend about the podcast too. Spread the word. Until next time, keep on living.